I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Because of the fact that Nickel Roby Coleman came out and poked the goat, and Nickel Roby Coleman is the slot corner for the Los Angeles Rams, and yeah, we know who plays in the slot for the Patriots. It's going to be Julian Edelman. I think Julian Edelman wins Super Bowl 53 MVP.
Get up! Get on up! Get up! Get on up! Get up! Get on up! Take your arm, then use your palm. Stay on the scene. You got to have the feeling. Sure your bone.
Yeah, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I gotta get this thing off of here. Good morning.
Good morning.
And that was...
That was Nostradamus.
That was, yeah. Starting off the show reminding y'all
who's
what.
Yikes.
And that's okay. Given what happened in the championship game, I figured we'll let him get off the rip and toot his own horn.
That might not be the last time you hear that this weekend.
Oh, I don't think so.
I know that. Oh, my goodness.
Put that on a loop. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Mr. Crenshaw, good morning.
Morning.
Sam and Greg. That, of course, was Bo. Let's get started with the city is back. We got our city back. We talked about this last week, man.
We have our city back. We have our city back.
And by the way, weren't you ready for them folks to go?
Yes.
Wasn't that the uncle who kept his feet up on your sofa a couple days too long?
Saturday night with the overflow crowd at Centennial Olympic Park, we're like, okay, folks, okay, it's time for y'all to get out.
When we have traffic issues getting to work at 4:30 in the morning, it's time for y'all to go. Time for y'all to go. Club Anytime's been gone a long time.
Yep.
You need to go.
Yep.
But the city has been talked about in a way nationally, and the show that we put on as far as welcoming the NFL community and the rest of the country here, the rest of the world here for the Super Bowl and the time that everybody had here, with the exception of a few rappers getting beat up by their girlfriends, everybody had a big time.
Well, that one and one that has an expired green card or whatever, a visa.
That's a conspiracy, Sam. Don't
okay,
you know?
Okay, all right.
That's a conspiracy.
Yep, all right. But I mean, that's the only thing that came out of
It
looked great. It looked great. And the folks down at City Hall, everyone couldn't be more happy with everything that took place this past week. Over a 10-day period. And just the way everything was set up, they had just like the team's game plan. The city had a great game plan, from the city of Atlanta to Atlanta Police to MARTA to surrounding agencies that came in, to the federal folks.
To the dogs.
To the dogs, the very fine dogs that sniffed us everywhere we went last week.
Buy us dinner.
I told people last week, I said, yeah, I've been sniffed by the very best dogs the last week here in town. But you know what? It all came together. And why are you laughing about
that? Because that's just when you leave that statement alone on its own, it's kind of funny. You can make your own joke up there. Should let that simmer for a minute. I've been sniffed by so many dogs.
By the very best dog. Not just any dog. The very best dog. Remember, these guys get their own hotel rooms. They get their own hotel rooms,
I know
man.
Get their own seats on a flight.
They get their own hotel rooms, and they probably get room service after a long day of sniffing. So, you know,
Just let
that simmer for a minute.
That's a good one.
Long day of sniffing, you get room service back at the hotel room. but I think the idea was to have it, you know, come off with a great way to show the city. You mentioned last week, Greg, about the entertainment being choices more than just the usual parties. Yeah, there were still parties, but the organization offered great forms of entertainment.
Yeah, they did.
And a lot of it was family oriented. I mean, some of it was high end if you had the money to go to that. But if you didn't, you had great entertainment that was free that you could go to.
We had entertainment for all ages and tastes.
Yes.
In this city. And all of it, for the most part, was in walking distance. That's the crazy part about it.
Yeah. You had to wear comfortable shoes.
But it was, this was almost like a Times Square area where you had, this over here on this side of the street. You had this for these kind of folks over here. And it was, other than, let's see, what's the only thing folks had to really drive for? I was just trying to think.
You didn't really have to. That was part of the plan. That was part of the pitch.
But I understand.
To
but
the NFL would, for this game. No, I mean,
well, I guess for the you couldn't walk from the Fox Theater.
Yeah, if you had to go up that far.
Yeah, you couldn't walk from that night of the honors.
Get your Uber. Get you a ride.
And by the way, I thought of you coming in. The skeleton of the Foo Fighters facility is still up.
Yeah,
the tents are down.
It's coming down.
But the structure is still there.
It's coming down. It's coming down. I mean, within about another week, you'll never know it was there. Also here at Symphony Hall, where they had the gospel night, where the guys, you know, the players came over there in their robes and sang. You had to probably get you an Uber to get you up to that. But for the most part, like you said,
everything
Greg,
was right there.
Everything was in walking distance. That was the game plan when Atlanta was pitched to the National Football League to return the Super Bowl to our town. And now the thing of it is, how long will it be before the Super Bowl returns?
Well,
and I think we pretty much, it's a done deal, just a matter of when. And I think sometimes
it'll be about 10 years.
I think within 10 years.
But here's the thing. We're back on the stage again. Last year we had national championship. This year we had the Super Bowl. Next year we're right back up, Final Four.
Final Four, absolutely.
So, hey, we don't really need the Super Bowl. We got enough events coming here.
We got that, but you do want – to me, this is an event that comes, and it's like a game changer for the city. Not to the magnitude of the Olympics, but believe me, there are some people who did not leave this weekend. There's some people who got rides down here, and they sent home for their stuff. Put it in a box and put it on a Greyhound, because we ain't coming back. There are some people who stayed.
Yeah, that's what I remember that conversation happening after Katrina.
Yep,
and a lot of folks from Bo's neck of the woods stayed here in Georgia.
Well, just like the Olympics, a lot of people came in for the Olympics in '96 and stayed, and they did not go back home.
By the way, can we back up a little bit and get back to – and again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. If you're just joining us, Sam and I, this is our first chance to kind of get the whole Super Bowl residue off our chest and how we thought the game and how Atlanta looked. And by the way, game aside, okay?
I
don't have a problem. You don't have a problem. Football fans don't have a problem with the score. You know, we understand a defensive battle, and we can appreciate that.
Yeah. Not what we were expecting.
No. But can we start off with Gladys Knight?
Oh, why not?
And how nice that was to see her.
Yeah.
And and just how she just, to me, it was great in a way where you didn't have to call it great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense to you?
I think
it's just like you listening to her and it's like you watching butter melt. You know, it was like that. But here's the thing. Those were my two thoughts. Before the kickoff, I had two thoughts. Gladys Knight was one, and the other one was how strange it was when the Rams came out. And all I could think about was somebody was in that room when they made the decision to – this was the music you guys are going to run on the field to. I didn't think that Chipper Jones was in that meeting because they came out to Ozzy.
Yeah.
I thought the first person I thought of was, damn, Chipper Jones.
They pay
a little tribute to Chipper here.
And so if you're in Atlanta, you're an Atlanta sports fan, it's hard to hear that music and not think Chipper. I also thought during Gladys Knight, obviously, the roof being open.
That was,
and
that's what I was going to get to.
Was just
from four angles.
Yeah.
Was it two or no? Coming, passing, three angles.
Yeah.
Because they had the inside, and then they closed the roof.
And then they closed the roof. You know,
they did that in a very smooth way because I didn't realize it until I noticed later on. So there was no noise that was captured on TV. There was obviously it didn't stick. Everything was greased up nice.
Everything was lubed quite well, and it all went back in place. And it was there in place for the game. And then the game took
place. Again, I'm nonplussed about it because I didn't have a dog in the fight. I didn't care one way or the other. I didn't want New England to win.
Yeah.
But I figured
the longer they were going to win.
The
longer it went, you figured, all right, New England's going to win this thing. The longer it went, it seemed apparent. But I mean, the thing of it was a great show. The overall week. Now, when do we get it back? We know the next 5 years are set for Super Bowls. The next 5 years. Next up is Miami. I think then Tampa's next. Either Phoenix or LA. If LA's finished, LA's in.
When's the new joint going to be built?
And then New Orleans.
Okay.
Those are five. Those are the five.
Well, then it's probably got to go back to a northern city.
Then Vegas. Then Vegas ought to be done by then.
Yeah.
You got Vegas. So that's your next six. Okay, now we're down to 7 and 8. Does it go back up to the Midwest?
I think they do that on a 10-year basis.
Indianapolis. It may be Indianapolis' turn. Then it comes down to, I guess, between us and Dallas. I'm thinking. So that's about 8 years out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking.
Jerry's probably going to be in line to get it next for us.
You think he'll get it
before us? He'll probably get it before us because he had it a couple years ago where it blew up in his face with the weather and all of that stuff. they had those problems. And you know, Jerry, is any chance that Dallas is going to get, whoever's in that room making a decision, Jerry's going to bust in and say, hey, it's been so many years since we had it. We want it back. And he's going to get his way.
You think so?
He's going to get his way. He's not going to let Arthur Blank have two between the times he's had one. He's not going to let it happen.
We put on a better show.
Well, despite that, I'm just saying, he's not going to let that happen. I just don't see Jerry Jones allowing that. He's going to go in there spitting and screaming and chewing tobacco and all of that. But he put his hair on the counter and point a finger at somebody. Make a point.
Oh, man.
Now you know I'm serious. Here, let me put this over here for a minute. No, I just don't see that happening. But, you know.
But sometime within, I'd say, the next 7 to 8 years, we'll
do they have everything we have? In other words, we talked about the national championship. Do they have that going on in Dallas? I think so.
Yeah.
They have Final Four.
They have the Final Four, yeah.
So they have everything. So you know they're just – one is following the other. And somebody's keeping count. Because, you know, the Eagles are as big as they are in these two cities, these owners. Somebody's keeping count.
But I think, like we talked about, the proximity of everything is the thing that makes – I'm trying to think of any other city that has that, and I think people say Indianapolis is kind of like that.
Right.
Indianapolis is a place you can get from the airport, you get to the downtown area, and everything's there.
But there ain't nothing going on in Indianapolis.
A lot of cities where it takes place, you know, New Orleans is kind of that way. You can walk if you need to the places in New Orleans for that when it's there. Miami, not the case. You know, Tampa, that's not the case in Tampa. It's definitely not the case in Phoenix.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that's the thing.
In L.A.
In L.A. Well, I know Inglewood is not that far from the airport.
Dude, I've been in Inglewood.
But Inglewood is nowhere near downtown.
Inglewood,
in the hotels.
You don't want to go out past the stadium in Inglewood.
Well, now they're doing
that firsthand.
They're going to fix it all up, though, man. They're probably going to do it like they're doing the west side of
Atlanta.
They
fixed up around Madison.
Yeah. They probably will. It's probably
they will fix it up, but still you will not be able to venture out. Like, this city is the outlier. As far as that, you know, it's one of the few outliers, I should say. That's actually not making any sense. If they're outliers,
I mean, they won't be able to
one.
Do that in Vegas. Although Vegas, the stadium is right by the Strip, so it won't be. But there's, you know, when I saw, that's one thing I did see when I was out there. The stadium is going up, and it's right off the Strip.
One of the three cities that have what we have. That's what I was trying to say. There aren't many, and we don't know. Even if they build up the area around it. You can't just freely venture out the way folks felt like they could do that in Atlanta. Then you got the scooters, too, on top of it.
Oh, my goodness.
So it wasn't just walking. People were buzzing around this city. Hey, listen, before we get into the next segment, do we have time to do the bets that we put out there, or we have to save that? Because we had a bet.
We have time to announce the winners.
The winners.
We don't really necessarily have time to go through the entire list. But, yeah, we can Weekend Warnings prop bet page. We went through 11 bets and we ended up in a three-way tie.
Whoa.
We all got five right. And it's not the same five either. There were three, I think, that we all picked the same answer, and I took those out.
Okay.
But, we ended up in a three-way tie for breakfast, so I guess we go out and get split checks.
I say we push it till the Final Four see how we do there.
You'll push the Final Four?
Yeah.
So we're going to do a bracket? Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know if I want to do a bracket. Everybody does that.
Maybe an Elite Eight bracket?
We just wait till the Final Four gets here.
Nah, that was Final Four.
Because we could be eliminated like right out of the chute. Then what? It's how many we got right or wrong on the first round?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can create, even on an app, a contest between the three of us that'll track it all. All you got to do is go in and enter your winners.
So we're not going to breakfast, man?
Oh, yeah, we're going to go to breakfast. I just don't know who's going
to
pay.
Gosh.
Go over there and
what's
get
up with that?
There. Shout out to KB over there at Off the Hook Barbershop.
Yeah, what's going on?
They're right around the corner from Pascal's, and that's where we get some stuff too.
Had a big
Speaking
week.
Of breakfast, we'll do, what you call it, bakery too. Highland Bakery. But lost the Falcon this past week.
Yeah.
Get your thoughts on that up next. Yeah. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I remember one or two players telling me that, it's a certain way that you have to pitch to Frank. I said, yeah. I said, hold the ball and pray. That's the most important thing. I've always felt that out of my 23 years that I played baseball, that forsaken me, that I didn't do, I came very close three occasions, and that is winning the Triple Crown. You did it and did it with ease. I should have done it at least three or four times.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Man, that was so such a part of old timers that came up.
And Oh, man.
I will never, ever. By the way, that was Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron. And happy 85th birthday to him this week.
Baseball's all-time home run king.
Yeah.
I did that for y'all.
Yeah.
Talking about, of course, Frank Robinson, who passed this week. The only player. He got the record, man. Only player to get an MVP in both leagues.
In both leagues.
That's all you need to say. You can give out some other numbers. He was number four on the home run list when he retired.
Yep.
And just did it in a way that he was the everyday player that – this is my analogy. This is what I think of when I think of Frank Robinson. He was the everyday player that Bob Gibson wanted to be.
Yeah, okay.
How's that? You ever heard that before? Is that fair?
Okay, yeah.
Because Bob Gibson pitched like Frank Robinson played every day.
Yeah. Okay. I, you know what? I can see that.
There you go.
I can see that. A trailblazer, obviously, at the time that he came into baseball with Cincinnati, played on fantastic teams with the Baltimore Orioles. That was great. But at the same time, did some things off the field. And then later on in the front office and then taking the field as a manager and being a trailblazer in that area as well.
1975, hit a home run. In his first game as a manager.
Wow.
Batting second.
That's something.
Imagine if you put Bobby Cox in the lineup at second.
Oh, no, man.
Back
in
the day.
Bobby.
Hey, Blauser, take a seat. We're going to put Bobby in at number two. But the way he approached that game, he didn't want to play, as the story is told. And then they said, now, Frank, this is your big day. This is something special. You're going to manage, and you're still playing, so you got to put yourself in the lineup. So he already did. He put himself at number two. And the guy had an 0-2 count on him. And Frank thought this dude was trying to strike him out on his first day. As he was noticing the pitch coming, as the story goes, he noticed he's going low, but he's not keeping it low and away. He's trying to hit the edge. And Frank instantaneously, as the story goes, thought this dude is trying to strike him out on three pitches. Don't you know who I am? You know, and knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, how about that? Received the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Bush in 2005. So many honors and accolades, and all well-deserved. And this week we lose him, the Hall of Famer Frank Robinson, just a tremendous, tremendous player, and just tremendous things that he did off the field as well.
But what we heard Hank Aaron say about winning the Triple Crown, and he says, I would have done it, that reminds me of what I heard Willie Mays say after Jose Canseco was the first person to become a 30-30 player, and everybody made a big whoop-de-doo about that. Or was it 40-40? It might have even been 30-30 the first time, because that was a big deal when he went 40-40. But when he became the first person to be a 30-30 player, Willie Mays had something to say about that. And he said, y'all are making a big deal about this. I'd have done this every year if I'd known you guys were going to make such a stink about it. That mentality is what led Hank to say, even as he eulogizes or talks about somebody like Frank Robinson, I'd have done the same thing I know y'all were going to make a big deal about it. I could have done it. Hank always said he did the same things Willie Mays did.
Yep.
Except my hat didn't fly off.
That was the thing. And with a Triple Crown, think about that today. We didn't even talk about that today.
He had the last.
You know what I mean?
It was a year after that was the last time a Triple Crown. Was it the last one? Yeah. I don't think. Is Trout. Well, see, now I'm lost. Nobody's had a Triple Crown since, Yastrzemski. 67.
That was his then?
That was the, wait, was it a few years ago? Help me out. I thought maybe it was the last one in the American League.
But it's something that's so rare, and with today's players, you hardly hear it ever mentioned that someone's right. contending for it, to be a leader in all of those categories. It's just mind-boggling. So it's a rarity, and he's able to accomplish that. He's one of the players who did accomplish that.
Cabrera.
Okay.
I forgot.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to hear about that one when I get home.
You will. You certainly will. He'll play for the Tigers.
How can you not remember? So somebody right now is screaming in the radio.
At you.
Anyway.
But we mentioned Hank Aaron earlier, and this week, 85th birthday, a happy birthday, happy belated birthday to him. His wife, Billy, gave him a party at a surprise birthday party. Peebo Bryson was there singing to him.
Did you get an invite?
No.
I thought you knew Hank like that.
Oh, man. They didn't invite me to the parties. They'll tell me about the other stuff, but they don't invite me to the party.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. If you are just joining us,
yes.
We ended last segment talking about we had a fan favorite and a guy that you know, no longer an Atlanta Falcon.
Oh, talking about
Matt Bryant, man.
And that news got around.
Make a business decision.
A business decision for the team, obviously. And football is a business, and I think everybody could rationalize that. But the reaction that you got this week, you would think that when people think about a kicker or you know, a punter, and they say, okay, are they really that important? Are they really that big of a deal to a team?
Yeah.
And, you know, when he's steady like that and it's someone who does his job and basically, I don't say you take him for granted.
Well, you do.
But he's been that – he was just that consistent for this team.
He – obviously, two different ways of looking at this. But I always look at players like – when you talk about a player, I go to this analogy. They're like a really good umpire. If a really good umpire does his job, you don't notice him.
But not supposed to notice him.
And that's what he was. But this guy actually put points on the board, so he did contribute to the end result. But
Points on the board and won some games, came through in the clutch a number of times for the team, and was just this steady Eddie guy. But, you know, the thing I remember most about Matt Bryant, if you ever go up to Flowery Branch when the team's practicing, he's always over on
the other side.
He does his own thing, and nobody, like, bothers him. He knows, you know, he's been in the league long enough. And all they know is it works. Mm-hmm. You know, it works. Game day, you have success. But the vision I'm going to always remember of Matt Bryant in this town is on a Tuesday. I think this has been about five years ago, after the Falcons had won a game in Dallas against the Cowboys. And anyone who knows the schedule of a National Football League player, well, it changes a lot now with the Thursday night games, but usually Tuesday is an off day. You know, if you're keeping a regular schedule, Tuesday is the off day. You get to do, you know, you get to catch up on your honeydews, or you probably even help drive carpool or what, your honeydews. If you're married, you know, you catch up on those type things on that off
day.
That
sounded like a whole different kind of thing you was talking about. But go ahead.
Honeydews.
Folks don't use that term anymore.
Why not?
I don't know why they don't. The same reason they don't use a lot of terms. They just kind of go down the road
on your honeydew list. That's you know stuff like.
So you left the list part out. You just said on your honeydew.
On your honeydews. That's that when you. Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Just saying. You gotta watch what you say now.
No.
I think
most people who listen and know what I'm talking about when I say your honeydew list. Anyway,
over 80.
It's your day that you have to catch up and do stuff that you kind of want to do. You have children. That's the day you may end up driving carpool to school. You may end up picking some people up from school, taking them to practice or taking them to a rehearsal or whatever. It's the time you get to – because your time is so limited.
Understood.
Once training camp starts, your time with your family is so limited. And so this was a Tuesday after the team had played on the road and it beat the Cowboys and came back. And at the Bellwood Boys and Girls Club, which is on Hollowell,
yep.
a.k.a. Bankhead.
Right.
On a Tuesday afternoon, I'm over doing something for the city of Atlanta and a story. We used to try to catch up whenever the Falcons have off days. They're in the city doing something at a rec center or at Atlanta Public School. We used to try to do something about that to show them being in the community. And this was one that they were doing. And inside that Boys and Girls Club, Devontae Freeman was there along with Matt Bryant. And Matt Bryant was there with little specks of paint on him. He was helping paint just a recreation room for the kids to go to after school, a place where they would come in, you know, do their studies or put their book bags down while they go in the gym and play or whatever. And they were painting the room. And he's in there with a roller and a paintbrush. And the kids are excited. They all want to get paintbrushes and they want to help. Here's this Atlanta Falcons football player who's at our rec center in our community and he's painting our wall, and we want to help him paint it. So there, it was
a special day.
It was neat to see him there painting with the roller pen, getting paint drops on him, and the kids are getting paint drops on them. But they're just smiling because he's there. And we talk with him about it. He loves kids.
He does love kids.
He's got seven. He has seven children. But that's the thing.
That's how he's spending most of his Tuesdays
on the day when those kids are looking for him. His own children.
Yeah.
He's down here in the city painting this wall in this building for these young people in this part of town that need somewhere to go after school that's going to be safe, where they can go. And he spent the day with them. To me, that said so much about him, about the man that he is, not just the football player, but the man and the citizen that we lose when a player like Matt Bryant is let go from our team. Now, I thoroughly expect to see him face us in the fall.
You do?
I do.
Where do you think he's going to land?
This week I was actually here in Tampa Bay, and I would not be surprised one bit. I would not be surprised one bit to see him back. You know, if not there, I expect him to see somewhere that will be on the Falcons' schedule.
Why you got
to
stay in the division?
Hey, they're the one calling. They're the one paying. You know, he got to go down there.
Go to Jacksonville.
He got to go down there and bail out Jameis.
He don't got to go.
He got to go out and bail out. He's got to go down there and bail out.
He's going to have to kick a whole lot longer field goals there than he would have to here.
He's got to go
bail out Jameis.
He's got to bail out the crab leg king.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We've been here for 33 minutes. I ain't heard one game day out of you, and it's a game day. You got Hawks and Charlotte, speaking of divisional teams. Hawks and Charlotte. By the way,
yes.
if you had to a little crystal ball, and are you kind of looking forward to the Hornets or Charlotte, if you will, hosting NBA All-Star Weekend? Given the fact that they had it a few years ago and it was snatched away from them, so is it going to be even that much bigger and better, do you think? I mean, are you kind of looking forward to it? And then, of course, you've been hearing the GOAT thrown around a whole lot these last couple years. And now you're going to the home of the person who's supposedly that person, the original.
Yeah, yeah.
And is he going to remind you? In other words, will you see Charlotte open its doors and its hearts to the NBA community and showing you what the team has done and worked within the community, talking about Matt Bryant a second ago? Or is this going to be about the guy who owns this team in this city and reminds you who he is? Y'all sitting there talking about this player and that player and LeBron here and Anthony Davis there and Kobe stepping back up talking about James Harden. Is it time for him? Because remember what he did at his Hall of Fame speech. He reminded everybody who he was.
Yeah.
And he got prickly about it. Remember that? Michael Jordan was not going out in a nice way. He wanted to remind you who he was and who he still is.
Right.
I'm just wondering if this is going to be a reminder. This All-Star Weekend of who he is.
I think there'll be some of that, but I think the city is just glad to get it and have it back after having it pulled away. So I think it will be some of that. Obviously, it'll be some of that.
If he was smart, he'd sell Air Jordan, the first ones.
The first
for a special
one,
price all weekend back, long. All you can go get them for like $5.
You don't want to do that. Because he can come up with a new line and people will camp outside the store.
Oh, there are. Yeah. Those do exist, but they're on the opposite end of the spectrum from $5.
Yeah, I know, really. I understand that. I'm just saying, but that would be the thing.
Throw a couple zeros on you, and that's going to be closer.
Yeah,
throw
really.
Some kind of special price on the original Jordans.
Yeah.
Just during NBA All-Star Weekend.
You're talking sneakers, man. We have to go and get Greg Street. That's the sneaker man. It's big on that.
Anyway, it's
hey,
Sam
speaking of sneakers.
Yeah, your guy's up next
year. You're talking high school hoops. And a question that went out to all high school coaches about a certain thing we've kicked around before. We're finding about that.
He jams.
They score! And it is good.
Our Atlanta Hawks, United, and Falcons play here because the game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning. It is Sam and Greg. It is a game day. You heard earlier the Hawks and Charlotte. That pregame is at 7 o'clock. Tip off at 7:30. You can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And to make these guys earn the money, they're going to play again tomorrow. They got to get on a plane from Charlotte, go down to Orlando. And that game you can also hear right here. Tip off at 7:30.
And we hope to be joined tomorrow morning by the television play-by-play voice for the longtime Atlanta Hawks, friend of the show, Bob Rappin. Hope to hear from him tomorrow.
Bob Rafford, how are you, buddy?
It would be great to get his take on all the zooming around of players around the NBA this week, which has just been rampant.
We'll do it next segment. We got to give a congratulations out to somebody here that you all know, and I'm going to be in a Geico commercial with.
Okay. We do it. We're at the top of the hour. But right now, we're going to talk some high school hoops. It is tournament time. The region tournaments are wrapping up and the state tournaments are getting ready to start. And joining us now on the WadeForIt.com hotline, Kyle Sandy, Sandy Spiel. Good morning, Kyle.
Right. Morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. I know you're doing great because you're always excited this time of year.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Very excited this time of year. A lot going on in the state of Georgia. I mean, that means I don't get too much sleep. I think I got home at about 1:15 last night. But, you know, I got to put on some work for you guys. We got a lot to talk about, and I got to come ready, and I got to deliver for you guys this morning.
All right, well, let's get started. What do we need to know that you went, you know, first thing, off the shoot, what do we need to know that's going on?
Well, I think everything revolves around Region 2 and Class 7A on the boys' side. And, I tried to talk about East Coweta, and they've been a team that was red hot. They're rolling. And then they hit a brick wall last night, and they got rolled by Weaver 75-49. And then Westlake beat Pebblebrook 76-52. So now we got Westlake versus Wheeler. That's a 3 versus a 4 seed in the championship, and 1 versus 2, East Coweta versus Pebblebrook for the consolation. And you know what that means. If everything goes according to plan with McEachern's going to see either East Coweta or Pebblebrook. And in our latest state rankings, East Coweta was number 2 in the state. So if East Coweta somehow loses to Pebblebrook and McEachern wins, that was a potential like Final Four, like a state championship matchup. We might be seeing that in the first round. And that's just Georgia high school basketball. It is wild this time of year. Now that all region, these teams are so good.
That region you're mentioning, they're playing it over in Smyrna at Campbell, right?
That is correct. That is correct. Brand new facility over there at Campbell.
I want to get up and get a look at that. What other region do you have a chance to check out and one we ought to be watching?
That's a big one right there. We got a couple more wrapping up. Class 6A, Region 5 over there at New Manchester. That's the toughest region in probably the entire state outside the one we just mentioned from top to bottom. We got a championship matchup between Tri-Cities and Alexander, and these two teams have been going back and forth all season long. They're going to be meeting for the title game today as they play at 7:30, and that's a big one over there in West Georgia at New Manchester. Alexander, a very good team, and Tri-Cities has a bunch of very good guards, and they've been a team that's been very lethal all season long in Class 6A.
This is Kyle Sandy joining Sam McGray here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Kyle, what's this I hear about the coaches all getting a questionnaire trying to talk about changing out this shot clock to 35 seconds?
I did see that. I think it was the NFHS that sent out a questionnaire, and coaches trying to, you know, let their voice be heard. People want some changes as far as the shot clock goes. Now, we'll see if it all, you know, if they get enough votes and, you know, their voice is loud enough, it will be interesting to see if something will change. I know the GHSA will still have to move their feet to get something done with that, but coaches are really trying to bond together and, you know, with that voice in the masses, try and let everyone know we want a shot clock. We want to be playing like we're at the college level. We don't want people holding the ball. And fans, I think, would love a shot clock as well.
Listen, help me out here because I've been listening to Sam over the last couple of years and other people that we have out here talk about high school sports and the institution of this or that or this rule change, and it's like pushing molasses through, you know, sand. Why is it such a tough get? For some of the stuff that just seems knucklehead-like, it just seems like something that should be done. Why is it so hard to get it implemented into high school sports, whether it's basketball or football?
Well, I think everything's always going to come back to, especially with the shot clock situation, is can everybody afford to put a shot clock and install it in their gym? I was just at Wilkinson County. I was at the Palace last night, and, you know, we're talking about these small schools in rural areas compared to maybe like a Norcross or a Grayson where there's a little bit different scenarios and what they're dealing with. But, you know, that's going to cost some money, and that's going to be a lot of different gyms across the state. That's a lot of different shot clocks you're going to have to implement. I think as far as that goes, that's just one of the big the things you have to think about logistically speaking is that's a lot of time and effort to put it on there. And I think that's going to be one of the biggest hang-ups other than, you know, just having to deal with the NFHS and being a member, you know, school with all those guys.
This is something we're talking about nationally, not just state by state, right? Or is that what they're looking for? Or will the states have the option?
That's a good question. I haven't really been able to look too far into it. I know NFHS, a lot of states abide by their rules, I don't know if it's going to be something that's optional or not, but I know the GHSA, they're not always on the necessarily the cutting edge of being with the times with each sport and what's the latest, what's going on across the nation. But, yeah, I'm not too sure whether it's going to be something that you can opt into or not. It's a good question, Sam.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Kyle Sandy talking high school hoops. You can follow him on Twitter at KyleSandy355, KyleSandy355. My other question about a shot clock is everybody doesn't have the college-bound horses. And to me, that's the thing that's the equalizer for the teams that don't have the college-bound horses. And to me, that puts the pressure on the coach of those college-bound guys to coach and teach them that you make – and when it comes to tournament time, you're probably going to run into a team that's going to do that and don't fall apart. Go out and still play your game. So I think there's a scenario where you can use that clock. I don't think you want to rip people ready to bring it into region games because we know how the regions are like three or four teams at the top and the rest don't have that kind of talent. And I think once you get into the state tournament, you're going to have a hard time getting into the state tournament. But I think the pre-conference games, the pre-region games, I think are excellent. Some of these showcase holiday tournaments, I think the shot clock is excellent for those. But I don't know if they're going to institute it in the name of state tournament. I think that's a way of getting it in, just me personally.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that is very true. You know, if you install a shot clock, you are taking a little bit of that pressure off the coaches as far as coaching. You know, whether you want to admit it or not, if someone goes out and stall ball, you can't just complain about stall ball because you're sitting in a 2-3 zone and you don't want to make the coaching adjustments to come out and prevent that from happening. That's on the coaching. And whether we want to admit that or not, you know, if we're taking out shot clock, there's going to be more possessions, and obviously you're going to have more shots at it. But if a team comes out, that's all about strategy, and I love a strategy, and if you're exactly right. If you don't have the horses, you got to do what it takes to win, and you're going to make that other coach who kind of adapt to what you're doing. And without a shot clock, or if we do add a shot clock, that's going to change things up a little bit, especially for the little guys out there, David versus Goliath. David's going to have a little bit harder of a time against Goliath.
Kyle. Appreciate you getting up, man. Thank you for coming with the knowledge.
And yeah, no problem.
We got to work on this shot clock thing. It's mind-boggling to me. How much could a digital clock cost? I guess more than I'm thinking of, but, you know, we'll see. Hey, Kyle, enjoy the rest of your day, man.
Yes, sir. You guys as well.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot,
yeah,
Kyle.
Yeah, you got to help me out with this because
We'll talk about it. You know, we want to hear what people think about it, too. If you want to give us a call at 447-410-929, and your thoughts about this clock and when it ought to be used. I think it can be used pre-region, but once you get into the games that lead to the state tournament, I think you take it out. That's my thought on it.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.